Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. Sorry for cutting off the intro, but I just don't feel much like listening to it tonight. I think by now we've all figured out that we are living in the Grand Illusion, and playing the intro song isn't really going to change that. A lot of fun over the week. As you all are aware, I was on vacation last week, and I know Miss Linda had some computer issues as well as BTR issues. Those seem to be recurrent, but hopefully Miss Linda's got her system up and running good again. And I suppose a lot in the news, if you want to focus on one story, of course, the Boston bombing. I guess if it would have been in New York, maybe we could call them the Bronx bombers, but that would be a slap in the face to Babe Ruth, I suppose. Everybody was all a Twitter over Glenn Beck's statements. I listened to a clip from his show Friday, and I saw a lot of internet chatter. I got emails of people saying that Glenn Beck is going to come out with proof that the Boston thing was an inside job, and of course, I knew that wasn't going to be the case. But of course, I'm left wanting with Beck's explanation. He did a great job, I thought, of really digging up the dirt on a couple of dirt bags from Saudi Arabia. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, it really, is that a surprise to anyone listening to me or even to Glenn Beck? I really don't think so. My God, we've known for decades that most of these little ruffian miscreants come out of Saudi Arabia. They're like sand fleas. And I don't want to really focus too much attention on the individuals themselves. I don't know why they do what they do. I know what they claim. I think I know some of their motivation, but I don't want to sympathize with them, if you will. But I don't think that any of us can honestly put ourselves in their shoes. We think that we're being oppressed by the banking system in this country. But we are largely the beneficiaries of an oppressive monetary system in this country. Imagine living in a foreign country where they are feeling the terrible effects of U.S. monetary policy. I've talked for God knows how long about our monetary system, our banking system, the global monetary system as a whole, right? But we see it unfolding, and yet so many people are still scratching their butts wondering, well, why is this, and how come this happened, and why are they doing this, and why aren't we doing this? It's really simple. Go back to the Bretton Woods Agreement that was entered into at the end of World War II, which subsequently was a binding agreement, the creation of your United Nations, which was the culmination of the dream of the Woodrow Wilson and Mendel Houses of the world. All of this, of course, with the eye towards universal disarmament and universal peace. We're all going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. You fast forward to 1971 when it really took hold in earnest. Not that there wasn't a lot of control exerted after the 1913 creation of the central bank, the stripping of money of substance in the 1930s with the Gold Act under Roosevelt. We fast forward to 1948, right? Then fast forward again to 1971. And we look at, we have to take all these things in context. And you got to think about this. And these are things that I think about, stuff that runs through my mind. Okay, so I'm looking at Nixon and the reason we violated Bretton Woods. And for those that don't know what Bretton Woods is or was, it was an agreement entered into the major nations after World War II to settle their debts amongst one another in gold. And the gold had a fixed value of $39 an ounce. That's what they call at par. And it fast became evident by 1971 that the U.S. was not going to be able to continue settling its debts with France and Italy and Spain, but primarily France, with our gold at $39 an ounce. So rather than trying to renegotiate the contract, we ended it. We just said, no, we're going to pay you in U.S. dollars and you're going to take them and that's all you're going to get. But the powers that be are not stupid, and they knew that they had to have some kind of financial backing behind the dollar in order to make it work. Because after all, if it was just the U.S. giving the finger to France, Germany, Spain, Italy, you know, Europe, well, that probably wasn't going to work out too well for the U.S. from a sense of commerce. So we had to devise a way to make it attractive for these countries to accept those paper promises to pay that never get paid as payment instead of gold. And so Kissinger went over and they worked out the agreement for the petrodollar with the OPEC nations. And it's important to know the key players at that time were Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates. And of course Iran and Iraq, right? All of these countries sounding vaguely familiar, I suppose. So, knowing that, clearly the U.S. was worried about depleting their gold reserves. Fast forward to 2011, and Ben Bernanke says to Ron Paul in a congressional hearing, gold is not money. To which Mr. Paul asked Mr. Bernanke, well then why do central banks hold it? I mean, if it's not money, why do you hold so much of it? To which Bernanke replied, I don't know, tradition, I suppose. Really, tradition. So you didn't violate the Bretton Woods Agreement because you were worried about losing your tradition, did you? I mean, seriously. No fool would believe that. They know it's money. They don't want you to think of it as money. They want you to think of their paper promises as money. And this is how we have what I call a dollar hegemony. It's a dollar-dominated global economy. And the dollar is dependent on oil. As long as oil is bought and sold for dollars, and dollars only, well, then we kind of have an advantage over every other currency on the planet. That advantage is threatened when a major producer of oil decides they don't want to play by those rules anymore. And if you do a quick study of all of the countries that have been at war with the United States in the greater war on terror, I think you're going to find that they all have a very common denominator. They're all oil-producing nations, or they're oil-producing nations that don't have or were not part of the central banking system. One thing about Islam, as much as I detest it, the one thing about it is their monetary policy. They're very stringent when it comes to their monetary policy. Oh, they bend the rules. They play politics just like everybody else. But by and large, at least on the surface, they're against usury and they're against fake money or paper money, which is why the Saudis and all of the Arab nations are absolutely smitten with gold, that these people live to possess gold. All very interesting, in my mind at least. And so we can't fathom in our minds why all this is going on. And then now we have this bombing that's taken place in Boston. And I'm not going to delve into whether I think the two guys are guilty, whether it was a setup. I don't know. Quite frankly, I don't care. Because it's not going to change a damn thing. What's done is done. We need to perhaps not look quite so closely at it. And I know that a lot of people won't like that. The fact is, it's being used as a distraction. Remember the old adage, never let a good crisis go to waste. And certainly, the current administration is not going to allow this one to go by without reaping as much benefit as they possibly can. Yes, Linda, and you know, it's interesting. I don't recall where I saw the post. Someone sent it to me. I think I still have it. Yes, CISPA is another one. Where someone who works inside the administration or for one of the agencies sent out a post before the stuff hit the fan and said that, you know, it's going to be a 20-something white guy and it's going to come out that he used gunpowder, what people, you know, for like what reloaders use to create these bombs. And so we're going to have to regulate and restrict gunpowder, reloading powder. Now, isn't this interesting on the heels of what has been the largest purchases by government of what? Ammunition. Right. Can we really be this dense that we don't, that the writing isn't on the wall in front of us? A lot of people have been saying, well, you know, the government's preparing for something. We don't know what it is, but it's pretty obvious they're gearing up for something. Sure they are. And I can tell you what it is, and I've told you what it is, and we've had that conversation on here many times. What they're getting ready for is the collapse of the dollar. Now, I know there are competing ideologies out there about the dollar, gold standard, and all of these other things. That's fine. I don't care if someone agrees with me or not. I don't need someone to agree with me for me to know that I'm right. I'm not right on everything. There are certainly many things that I get wrong, and my wife is agreeing with me now, which means, of course, that I'm right once again. And she's shaking her head no now. She's so cute. The thing they're preparing for is the end of the system as it currently exists. And that is why you're going to see more and more pressure come out on the Saudis. You know, I mean, we have coddled them for decades because we need that relationship. But now there's been a shift, a paradigm shift, if you will, that other countries are becoming more influential in whether or not there's an ultimate demise of the dollar based on trade, and especially commodities trade, and in particular, oil as a commodity. China, Russia, Venezuela, Iran, Libya, these are all countries that are putting pressure on the upside-down pyramid scheme. Whether they're intentionally doing it or not, I don't know. I mean, obviously they're intentionally wanting to distance themselves from the United States because, I mean, put yourself in their shoes, they see the most negative impact from a dollar hegemony, far more than we do here. I mean, you know, let's face it, even our poor people are overweight and well-fed. I keep reading about all these hungry children in America, and I can't fathom where in the hell they're hiding them all. I mean, if they're going hungry, if they're starving in America, it's because they want to, or it's because their parents ought to be in jail because they're irresponsible. You know, there's an interesting article I found earlier today, and it's about WikiLeaks, and I'm still, my jury, my personal jury is still out on WikiLeaks. I like the concept, but I'm not sure that it's totally on the up and up. But anyway, the article, and I posted a link to it earlier. I know Miss Linda grabbed that link. I am going to cut and paste that link in here again, and you guys can certainly, you know, go read through that right now or at a later time. But the article was published Sunday, December 5th, 2010, in the London Guardian. And please try to ignore the progressive, liberal, globalist bullcrap, bleeding heart, crybaby bullshit on the right-hand column of this article, like, why does America lose its head over terror but ignore its daily gun deaths? You know, the gun grabber, they got to get that junk in there. The article's talking about Saudi Arabia is the world's largest source of funds for Islamist militant groups. Why don't they just call them what they are? They're frickin' Muslim terrorists, okay? Islamic jihadists. It goes on to quote Secretary of State Clinton. And what I found very interesting out of this whole article, because honestly, we've known for years, haven't we, that that whole area, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Kuwait, is a hotbed for creating terrorists. But listen to this. This one report singled out a Kabul-based Haqqani facilitator, Haji Khalil Zardan, as a key figure. But Clinton, this is Hillary Clinton, your Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, but Clinton complained it was hard to be sure the UAE's weak financial regulation and porous borders left U.S. investigators with limited information on the identity of Taliban and LET facilitators. So here we have our Secretary of State complaining about the lax border security in the UAE, the Saudi Arabia, Kuwait. Really? Are you serious? we are going to complain to another country about their piss-poor border security. Well, now that's rich, don't you think? I mean, do you guys share in my irony on that? Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the back door is wide open, the lights are on, we've rolled out the welcome mat and fired up the printing presses, boys and girls. The question everyone should be asking is why? Why now, after all these many decades, why only now is the focus shifting to Saudi Arabia? And don't give me this Glenn Beck stuff, because Glenn just today came out with his synopsis in this one particular instance. That document I gave you is from 2010, showing you that our very own State Department, right, is allegedly concerned and worried about it and clearly aware of the problem, are they not? I have a theory, and I know everyone likes to think that, you know, the government has its tentacles to everything, and they do in one form or another. But it is a poorly run, poorly organized beast. Every tentacle has three brains, and each brain is independent of the other, and none of them know what the hell the other ones are doing. And they're running around, running all over each other, stumbling on themselves. They can't get their damn stories straight. Hell, they can't even put up a reasonably plausible, phony, damned birth certificate for the President of the United States, for crying out loud. You've got to be kidding me. It's like kindergarten cops. It's ridiculous. We have given them far too much credit and far too much credibility. Certainly they have the ability and a propensity towards evil and violence. There's no question of that, not in my mind, and certainly not in the mind of the young man that's laying in a hospital bed, shot all to hell. And what the hell was that about, by the way? Because I kept hearing all over the news that they wanted to take him alive. And when I saw them on the news surrounded in that boat, it sure as hell didn't look to me like they wanted whoever was in that boat to come out of there still breathing. I don't know about y'all, but from where I sat, you know, that's not exactly how you go about taking somebody alive. Despite their best efforts, he's still sucking air. I don't know how in the hell that happened. But I mean, seriously, look at what's right in front of your face. It looked like a bunch of drunk rednecks at a damn coon shooting party. But they still believe that you're dumb enough to continue buying into this crap. And by and large, I think we are. We do continue to buy into it, but it's becoming so blatantly desperate and so blatantly obvious that, you know, a lot of people who would never have asked questions before, well, they're asking questions now. I think it's going to be their undoing. And of course, yes, I even got the call from Campaign for Liberty to call my senators and tell them to vote no on 743, the Internet Tax Us to Death bill. I mean, for crying out loud, they tax us at every damned opportunity, and, you know, here's another opportunity. It's a gold mine just waiting to be picked. Why not? For all the good it'll do me for my phone call, because tax me shameless. Well, he's not running for re-election, so he could give a shit less. He's going to vote however his pocket gets lined. Then Johnny Isaacson, I don't think he's any damn better. I never have thought he was any better. Well, sure, Rod, you know. Fast and Furious. Oh, come on. course, nobody remembers Operation Linebacker that was run prior to Fast and Furious. It's the same damn program, maybe with a little bit different twist. Do we remember going down into Panama and getting Noriega when he didn't want to play games the way we wanted him to? How many people remember Operation Zapata? Anybody remember that? Operation Zapata? Oh, well, sure. Benghazi. I mean, hell, there's been a lot of them. I look up Operation Zapata, and then when you're done, look up Zapata Oil. Tell me what you know. You know, this... Guys, that's from 1963, for God's sakes. Operation Zapata was the CIA code name for the damn Bay of Pigs invasion. Zapata Oil was owned by a man named George Bush, who later became appointed director of the CIA under President Gerald Ford in 1976. The boats were named after women in the Bush family. Barbara Jay was one of the boats they were using. Zapata is a small little island in the Gulf that's owned or was owned by Zapata Oil. I really question, quite honestly, whether or not the Soviets had nukes at all. I don't doubt that they may have moved missiles in to Cuba, making a statement. But I really question whether or not they actually had nuclear weapons. I even question whether or not we were ever truly in an actual Cold War with the Soviets. Think about that. Again, rewinding our memory banks to 1948 and the end of World War II, we gave the former Soviet Union half a damn Europe. We didn't have to give them anything. We could have told them, you sit there and shut up, and if you cross the line, you're next. But we didn't. We gave them half of Europe. And within that half of Europe was Germany, the very portion of Germany where the German military had its V-2 rocket program. I don't think we were terribly concerned about them getting all of the pieces and parts of the old program, the V-2 program. We had all the top scientists. So, we'll toss them a bone. We'll let them have the remnants of the rocket program. Then, of course, we can tell Congress, well, God, we've got to have a rocket program. They've got one, and you know, they're looking to attack somebody. They're too big and powerful, you know, and we created a boogeyman. But we've been playing this footsie game all along. Hell, we were funding the Soviets. Elements in this country helped fund the Bolsheviks. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You know, people can call it a conspiracy theory all they want, but the truth is out there. All you've got to do is look for it. You can find it. I've found it. I know Rod and Bill, we've had the conversation. You go and look at these pictures of the Iranians parading these damn missiles up and down. You know, they got them on the back of a truck rolling down the causeway, the big military parade. Take a look at those missiles. Take a look at them. Take a screenshot of them. Then let's do some comparison with some of the modified V-2 rockets from the end of World War II. And while you're at it, take a look at Saddam Hussein's Scud missiles. I think you're going to see something very similar in all of them. It's old World War II German V-2 crap that, in the day, was cutting edge. But by today's standards, by 25 years ago standards, by 30 years ago standards, they were bottle rockets. And just about as dangerous. Oh, sure, they were dangerous if you happened to be in proximity of where one of them landed. Folks, you've been sold a bill of goods. You've been sold a big old box of fear. And if you dare say anything about it, Mr. Bill Strong is absolutely right. They roll their eyes and laugh and say, oh, conspiracy theory. Oh, it's a conspiracy. Get your tinfoil hats out, boys and girls. Next, we'll have shape-shifting aliens and three-toed men from Mars. Horse manure. They simply are selling you a big old sack of crap. And we've been buying it. I think another problem that they have is we have this thing called the internet. And there's just about any bit of information on any topic you want to look at available in a way that it was never before available. Thank God that we had patriots, true patriots, back decades and decades ago, who were willing, who were driven to go to local libraries, to go to local county clerk's offices, to go to the state archives, to go to the Library of Congress, and look up the pertinent documents, to go through these documents and piece together a lot of the trail, the paper trail, to connect the dots, so to speak. It's much, much easier to connect dots today than it was 30 years ago. And I believe I've got Miss Linda on the phone. Miss Linda, how are you?
Fine, Ron. How are you doing? Hey, everybody in the chat room.
I'm feeling kind of zen.
Yeah. Basically, what Glenn left out of the story, as you had put into your show earlier, about the petrodollar and the ties to Saudi, who knows what's going to come of his following days to come on this expose of his. But, no, you're absolutely correct in this way back, and you did a great timeline on it. So here we have petrodollar. People are now starting to buy oil from other countries in gold. They're not using American dollars. You're predicting the collapse of it. We're so screwed. It's not going to be fun. And what gripes me is when you talk about the incompetence, yes, there's a lot of incompetency, but there's also a lot of evil out there, because absolute power corrupts absolutely. And people like the EPA and the UN, who are putting the kibosh on our free market of being able to go after our own damn resources, where we could compete with our own shale and coal. This just gripes me.
Well, also, though, it's so much more complex than... See, I don't believe for a moment, well, I know, I'm most certain, that I don't care if you drilled holes all over this continent and sucked out every last drop of oil available, it ain't going to matter. It's not going to change, because there's two things, and I mean, we had this discussion before. Number one, the oil-producing companies, the companies that are going to pull this oil out of the ground, they're going to do it for payment, and it has to be profitable.
Right.
And the moment it's no longer profitable, they're not going to do it. So
okay,
it's like cutting off your nose to spite your
right.
face.
What,
you know, they could drill.
What makes it unprofitable?
What would make it unprofitable is if they flood the market with oil.
Oh, okay. Well,
if we drill here, drill now, I think we don't realize that the United States is the third or fourth largest exporter of oil in the world.
And we haven't even tapped into the real, we don't even, you know what I mean?
Exactly,
we haven't even tapped into what.
Exactly. Now think about this for a moment, okay?
Okay.
Just think about this. You own an oil company, okay? The biggest one in the world. You have more oil than any three companies combined. And you also own a bank. And your bank has something that everyone needs. They need your money to buy oil.
Right.
Are you going to sell your own oil to be purchased with your own money that you're printing?
No.
Wouldn't make much sense, would it?
Right.
Why wouldn't you buy their oil with your money you're printing and get everybody else to do it? And see, so what becomes more important than your oil is your money.
Ah.
And
so,
you can sit on your oil, and when everybody else has exhausted themselves, you're still sitting on all that oil.
Right.
Just
now,
saying.
I just had one more question. Why are all these people making so much money in North Dakota and they're fracking all day long? Pardon the pun.
Well, because oil prices are at a level where it's extremely profitable. The technology has changed enough where it's become profitable to retrieve that oil. It's no different than gold mines that are sitting derelict up
right.
in the mountains in California, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
all over. The reason those mines aren't producing gold anymore isn't because there's no more gold to produce. It's because the ore, most of those mines, see, we have
mm-hmm.
this vision that, you know, they dig in the ground and they find this huge thing of gold and they start raking the gold out. Well, it doesn't really work that way. What they do is
mm-hmm.
find gold ore, which is a rock that doesn't look anything like gold.
Right.
And they crush that rock and they process it. And, you know, for every ton of ore that they crush, they get a half an ounce of gold.
Wow.
Well, they have to pay the workers, the miners, they have to pay
sure.
for the equipment, they have to pay to run all this stuff. And at the end of the day, you know, just like watching these guys on Gold Rush on TV, at the end of the day, they get a half an ounce of gold. Great. How much did it cost us to extract that half an ounce
right.
of gold? Well, it cost us $1,000 and gold's $1,400 an ounce. How long do you think they're going to continue doing that? They're going to close the operation right then and there. Now, if
right.
the price of gold goes up to where they can produce the gold and still turn a profit
mm-hmm.
and pay all their bills, they'll do
right.
so. Same thing for oil. You know,
okay.
as soon as the price of oil gets to the point where it becomes profitable for companies to drill and explore oil and bring that oil
mm-hmm.
to market here in the U.S., they will do so. However, if they had the ability to do what a lot of people have been advocating, where we just produce enough oil for our own consumption right here, and this
mm-hmm.
is the part that might be difficult for people to grasp, okay? So let's say we start pumping oil and we become self-sufficient. We have all the oil we need right here and we're going to use it. Do you know how much oil we consume every day?
A lot.
Millions,
I mean, I don't...
multiple millions of barrels of oil.
Right.
Let's say for the sake of argument that it's 100 million barrels a day.
Okay.
If tomorrow we produce our own, how many millions of barrels of oil are going to flood the market? 100 million. The 100 million
right.
that we're no longer buying.
From other countries.
Right. What happens to the market price of oil? It collapses because now there's a huge supply, and supply has outran demand. because you've just, the United States is the number one consumer. Well, actually, we just got surpassed by China, but we're the number two user of oil.
Can the people, let's say that this scenario is happening, could the people in our country extracting the oil, et cetera, sell to other countries? I mean, is that not feasible instead of having China go to Saudi to get it?
Well, sure, we could, but let's go back to the scenario a minute. Yeah, we could, but it doesn't matter. Okay? It doesn't matter if we extract 100 million barrels of oil and sell it overseas. It has the same effect as if we just extract 100 million barrels and use it all here and we don't buy the 100 million from overseas. It's an extra 100 million barrels of oil that up until yesterday was being consumed in the marketplace that has nowhere to go now, because suddenly we've replaced it with our own oil, and so there's all these tankers out there and they're going, crap, well, how do they sell that oil? Well, they lower the price, and they lower the price, and they lower the price, and they lower the price until demand meets the price. And so what happens is oil prices collapse. Now, that's only one half of the scenario.
Oh, God.
Because remember, your dollar hegemony depends on the oil market. And the higher the price of oil, the more debt notes you can pawn off on the rest of the world. So if you collapse the oil price, you collapse your ability to finance your own debt.
Sure. So now, the next question, of course, is how do you fix it all? How do you fix all this?
There is no fixing it. It's beyond fixing.
Oh, God. Well, that's just so special.
We've painted our ass into a three-sided corner. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Okay, you look at the interest rates. When you take this, is why I've been harping on the money thing all along, because that's what it's about. Rod Luke is correct. We sell a crap load of oil to Japan. You know why? Because Japan has refineries. And Japan refines that oil into fuels and then sells it back to us. Japan is one of the main reasons that the U.S. is the number three exporter of crude oil. We're also the largest importer of fuel. Diesel fuel, gasoline, jet fuel, kerosene, all those things. Guess what? All that oil we're selling off to Japan, we're buying back as fuel, gasoline.
It's nonsensical to me. I don't understand.
It is, but you see, look, Japan needs U.S. dollars to buy that oil from us.
No. We're painted into the corner. I get that. And all this is going to crash. And then what happens?
I don't know.
There I am.
I really don't know. I can tell you that the standard of living in the United States of America is not going to be anything. It won't resemble what it is right now. And right now, I believe that right now is a good time to be holding cash. Not gold, not silver, but cash. I see a real problem in the gold and silver market. Right now, the ratio is 60 to 1. That means 60 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. That is hugely out of whack. The natural occurrence of gold to silver on the earth is typically between 16 and 20 to 1. So basically, for every 16 ounces of silver they mine out of the ground, they get 1 ounce of gold. So that's been the natural ratio for time immemorial. So when you see a gold-silver ratio where it's 60 to 1, that's nonsense. That's so far manipulated that it doesn't even come close to reality. So this is another way that they debase or manipulate the currency markets and the commodities markets. It has been that high before, Bill, right around 2007 is the last time that I saw the gold-silver ratio at 60 to 1. was right around the end of 2007, mid to end of 2007. That's why I know there's something really not good coming. And I think that the first thing, one of two things is going to have to happen. Silver is going to have to jump dramatically in price, or gold is going to have to plummet dramatically in price. I think it's going to be the latter. And the reason I think it's going to be a dramatic drop in gold prices, number one, it's going to find equilibrium. We're going to get back to somewhere around 23, 25, 28 to 1 in the market. But number two, look at the U.S. dollar. It's skyrocketing. There's a reason it's skyrocketing. And it's not because the dollar's so strong. There's no physical strength behind the damn thing. Oil prices are collapsing. And that's another thing. As the dollar goes up, oil prices typically go down. But I'm actually seeing the dollar go up, oil prices go up. But they had pulled back. They were knocking on the door of $100 a barrel. They pulled back. They're at about $83 to $88 a barrel now. So it's difficult. I know it's tough to follow all this stuff, but you have to take it all in at the same time. I don't know what happened to Miss Linda there. You still with me?
I think I am now, because I kind of got into a dead spot here as I'm driving, so that kind of cut me out. So,
oh, no worries. I just looked and your mic was muted, and I'm like, why did you do that?
it just dropped off. So when this thing falls apart, what's going to happen to you and me as individuals?
I have no idea.
People.
I don't have any idea. All I can tell you is I've got food, water, I've got gold, silver, ammunition, and a way to defend myself. And, you know, what happens, happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what else to, you know, we can make all kinds of plans and you know, have all kinds of scenarios. But, you know, nobody knows what the hell's going to, what it's going to look like. Nobody knows whether you're going to be able to stay in your home, or, you know, whether it's just going to be complete and utter anarchy and chaos. I really don't know what it looks like.
Look what they did in Boston for one guy. They shut down an entire city. Does that tell you something? This is what makes me crazy. And I, hey, Bill, you're listening out there. You got the right idea, friend. Find yourself a good tent. Man, because you won't get, I mean, can you believe that? And nobody declared martial law, did they?
No.
Or did they just request that people did this? And
well, but they don't have to, because they don't need to declare martial law, because that's a regional thing. It's all in the county or city. I mean, that's at the city level. So that's up to the mayor and the city council, and, you know, really doesn't involve the federal government at all, other than the fact that the feds were involved, because of course they want to bring out the
toys.
Federal toys, and you know, they want to get in on the game too. And of course, you know, one of my guys was joking today. They said, "Can you believe that he's being charged with using a weapon of mass destruction?" And he said, "You know, if I was the guy's attorney, I would argue that you cannot destroy energy. You can only change its state. So your charge of weapons of mass destruction is a misnomer." But, you know, just being a wise guy, I told him I didn't think he'd get very far with that.
Wow. Yeah. And God help us in San Diego, where I'm at. And they're pushing to the gun confiscation already.
What I'm doing right now is selling silver. And I'm doing that because I think we're going to see a price change. I think it's going to go down. I could be wrong. I'm not selling all of the silver that I own, but I'm selling some of it.
What's the spot price today? It was 28 or something, or lower.
$23.51 is the ask price today. So I put 100 ounces up for sale at $24 an ounce.
Cool.
And, you know,
are you tearing up those nice American Eagles?
The American Eagles, if I were to sell those, I'd probably ask $30 a piece for them. The American Eagles, those types of coins have numismatic value because they're U.S. issued coins. They command more of a premium than just plain silver.
Okay. When you bought it, you bought bars or?
I got a little bit of everything. I've got bars, I've got rounds, and I've got silver eagles. So.
Cool. Oy. Yeah, I mean, all we can do is prepare and pray. That's it.
I have those too, Bill. Lead and copper. But most of them have copper jacketed around the lead.
Yes, lots of it. As much as we can get our hands on, huh? Yikes. Oh, my gosh. Or as much as you can carry.
And Luke is correct. Silver in 1 ounce rounds is very easy to barter with. The 100 ounces I'm currently selling is in one large chunk. It's a 100 ounce bar.
Nice.
So figure I'd get rid of that, and I'm just going to bank the money, and I'll wait until the prices come down, and then I'll use that to purchase some gold.
Yeah, because you don't know what any of them are going to do, right?
Well, I'm pretty certain that one of two things is going to happen. Silver's going to skyrocket or gold's going to drop. But not both at the same time. So, right now the ratio is 61.26 to 1. So 61.26 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold.
So this is a great time to buy silver, right?
I think so. I'm only selling mine because I want to liquidate that one large chunk. And, I'm kind of hedging a bet. So it is what it is. I'll be getting just about what I paid for it, maybe just a skosh more than what I paid for it. But
yeah. Wow.
I have plenty that I paid $12 an ounce for, so...
Well, that's cool. Man.
It's the name of the game is arbitrage. And whether you're using silver or paper dollars or gold or, you know, rice or anything else, it's the old adage, buy low and sell high.
Exactly, yeah. I'm still doing a little bit of food storage and stuff like that, you know, anything I can. So what can you do? Watch and learn. That's why I'm going today, because every chance I get to speak publicly, I'm doing it. And we're fighting some weird stuff. It's all tied to Common Core. And, you know, it should be an interesting town hall today, because if my friend Chris shows up, you should see the bag she carries around. She's got proof that they're teaching this garbage of global warming to the kids. And she's very vocal, so it's going to be an interesting meeting. And I promise to report back tomorrow on Patriot Family Chat Show. Should be wild.
Yep. Well, that's awesome. Linda, you always do such a tremendous job, and I think all of us owe you a debt of gratitude for the work and the effort that you put in. And I know everyone here, I know Bill and Rod Luke definitely are very grateful for all the effort and hard work that you put in.
Well, thanks, you guys. And I know Bill's been on it, too. He posts on Facebook. He also confirmed today that he had called several of his state and federal officials, elected, and started complaining about pretty much the call to action. And I got a lot of feedback from my local people. I called ICE's office. I emailed. And I told the person I spoke to at the office, I said, look, I says, we're sick of the lies. I says, we expect from the media, but we don't expect it from our representatives. And I said, you know, the Saudi connection, I said, I know this goes back beyond this administration. I said, but none of us feel safer, and every time an event like this happens, we get our liberties squashed, and we're tired of it.
Well, sure, and I mean, that's the whole damn program, isn't it? You know, and of course it runs way past this administration.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole Benghazi thing, for crying out loud, if the Senate couldn't find a daggum backbone
right
over Benghazi, you'd forget about it. It's done. It's done. And I said long ago that I think we've crossed our Rubicon. I firmly believe that. I don't think there's any way you unwind this thing. There's no way it ends nicely. Because too many people are going to be put in a position of fighting for their lives, literally. I mean, all the people that have become dependent on government largesse, on you know, entitlement programs, all the people that have become, that are dependent on Social Security, there's going to be a culling, a thinning of the herd, whether we want it or not.
I know. Well, the only, if they cut off my Social Security, then I figure out how to grow food and fish and skin animals.
It reminds me of an old joke. They said that, you know, if poop ever becomes of value, the poor will be born without buttholes.
Yep.
Without the ability to produce any poop. I mean, you know, it's just, c'est la vie.
Yeah, but whatever I can scrounge up, at least I know how to cook it and make it taste good. Thank God.
There you go. As long as we can grow some garlic and onions, we're in good shape.
Oh, my gosh. Any spices I can get my hands on is a plus, absolutely.
And I am not sure. I know there's one in California. I don't know where it's at. But there's a restaurant out there called The Crossroads, The House of Blues.
Okay.
I have to go and try the voodoo shrimp. It is amazing. Aaron Sanchez, the little Mexican guy that's on the Food Network. I don't know if you're familiar with him or if you've heard of him. I think we've lost Miss Linda. She must be in a bad cell. Well, God bless you, Miss Linda, if you can still hear us, and thanks for calling in. Guys, I got about 2 minutes left. Yeah, Rod, they would never do that, right? Guys, I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. My buddy Rod Luke, my good buddy Bill Strong, FT, thanks for hanging with us. Miss Yola, if you're still listening, God bless you, hon. I hope you get feeling well. And anybody else, all our other listeners out there, guys, you know, I'm telling you, I'm in hunker down mode right now. It's time to hang on and keep your eyes open and be aware of everything that's going on around you, but don't get sucked into the trap. It's going to be really difficult not to, but we have to keep our heads on our shoulders and be aware of everything that's going on around us, and just don't fall victim. You know, don't get angry. Don't fly off in a rage. We got to keep our wits about us, because that's the only thing that's going to keep us alive. And thank you guys for joining us tonight. And just God bless, man. Say a prayer. Get on your knees. Get a little knee time in. And keep fighting. Keep trying to expose it. Keep trying to educate people. It's coming. It's real close. God bless, guys. Have a good night.